the Lord. I'm a believer that when God orchestrates the feet of a person to come to a place, it's never by accident. Now, you might know that, but it's important that you're conscious of it. Being conscious is different from knowing it. Also, there are various ways in which God speaks. Today's your day, by the way. Now, pay very close attention to what I'm going to say. I'm going to be very simple, but very efficient. There are various ways in which God speaks. Various ways. And you've been going to church long enough. Some of you have had these thoughts. But I'm going to give you a dimension that I think is relevant for you so that you can be relevant in this generation. There are various ways that God speaks. God speaks by word. By word. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:4, the word of the Lord came unto me. The word of God can come to you. And I'll explain that as we go on. God speaks by word. God can speak by voice. Now, God can also speak by sound. God can speak by sound. He can speak by signs and symbols. God can speak by moods. Moods. The moods of men. There are the moods of men and the mood of God within a man. You can pick up what God is feeling. The Bible says, if you are joined with God, you are one spirit with Him. Okay? So you can pick up the mood of God for the season. The Bible says that God laughs. Huh? So you can pick up a mood. You're with me? Now, then there are the moods of men. And I began to realize over time that the moods of God have extremes. The moods of men have extremes. The moods of men have extremes. There is an extreme that you can have of joy and happiness. There's an extreme you can have of depression and worry. Those extremes, those moods, they bring you closer to the spirit realm. When someone is in depression or worry or they're sad, if they're sensitive, they can feel beings around them. When someone is excited or happy, if they're sensitive, they can feel beings around them. At the extreme of those moods, the veil between the physical and the spiritual is thinned. Praise the living God. Eh? So there are moods of men. I just needed to bring that across. Then there are moods of God that are deployed within the hearts of men. And someone can actually be angry with a situation and they're actually representing how God is feeling. Okay? So God can speak through moods. And I said God can speak through, there are many ways you can speak through voices. Now, it's important you understand that while we know that our body has a DNA, your body has your DNA, everyone's DNA is unique. What most people do not know is that their soul also has a DNA and their spirit also has a DNA that is unique to them. Praise the Lord. So, while your body has a DNA that identifies you, it's unique. When you get a child, your child gets a portion of your DNA. Okay? From the physical perspective. There is a soulish DNA and there's a spiritual DNA. The Bible says, Paul speaking to Timothy, said, let this faith that was in your grandmother Lois be also in your, He says, in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, let it also be in you. That is spiritual DNA. You can pass on something spiritually, not just to a physical person, but when someone claims that they have spiritual children, those children have to have a certain spiritual DNA to prove that actually these are the spiritual children. Praise the Lord. You don't just go and say you're my spiritual child. Okay? So there's a spiritual DNA. There's a soulish DNA, and I don't really want to dwell on this, but your soul has a DNA that distinguishes you. And remember I said that God speaks in voice. Sometimes, bring a mic. Say hello. Yeah? Say hello.
Hello.
Okay. All right. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay, now, very simple example. They're both saying the same word. But if you are not looking at them, you'd know they're different people. And it's not just about the sound. There is a DNA in the soul that distinguishes your voice. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, the reason why I bring that up, one day we shall teach on this in extension. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world. None of them is without significance. Give me the KJV. The KJV says, there are so many kinds of voices, but none without significance. Now, when he's speaking, he's not just referring to the natural voice. He's referring to voices in the spirit. Now, my point is this. If two natural voices can be distinguished by soul DNA, what makes you think God's voice cannot be distinguished? Ay, 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 ay. You see, every spirit has its own DNA voice. Now, I say without a shadow of a doubt, and I say this, that there are possibilities in the spirit where a being can mimic a voice. And so it is very, very important for you to grow in the knowledge of what God's voice sounds like to you, eh? To be able to pick out a fake. And that's what is missing a lot of you chaps here. Many of you. Eh? Many of you. So God speaks by voice. God can speak by signs and symbols. God can speak by encounters. It's important that you get that no matter how many revelations I share here, no matter how many ministries you go to and how many sermons you listen to, you will not remember everything. In fact, a large percentage of the things, people forget them. What people actually remember is the impact of a statement. So you think you're remembering the words, but what you're actually remembering is the impact. That impact is what we call an encounter. Encounters have various degrees, various levels, various intensities. The lowest of which is when a man can speak and the word that he has spoken has an impact on you, that you go back and it's on your mind 24/7. To such an extent that if you come across years later an experience that reminds you of what that person said, you might not remember what he said, but the feeling you're having at that time reminds you of that feeling. And I always say that experiences in the spirit don't die. You can relive an experience. You can move 1 year later after your heart was broken and create the entire scenario again 1 year later. And in the spirit, you're still 1 year behind. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So if someone breaks my heart in 1999 and I move to the year 2000, I can recreate the scenario and the feeling of 1999. And in the spirit, there's no difference. You're still in 1999, even though physically you're in 2000. You get what I'm saying? Experiences don't die. Good or bad, they can be relived. You can bring it back. God speaks through encounters. I found that God also speaks through song. God can speak through song. And I've taught this before, that you can encounter someone and the person that you encounter always has a particular song playing in your back, in the back of your mind. So some people you meet them and you say, the song at the back of your mind is, at first I was afraid, I was petrified. Go on now, go, walk out the door. And so you're thinking, man, every time I meet this person, this is the song playing at the back. And you see, the thing is this, your spirit attaches prophetic tunes to specific people if you stay awake. Sometimes I pick out people prophetically, not by what I've seen, but the song that is in my spirit. I can know what you're going through. There's someone who came to see me during the week. The moment they sat down, you know, I was on my own things. The moment they sat down, the song that played in my spirit was "When the Oceans Rise and Thunders Roar." It was actually a couple. And as they sat, I said, "I see turmoil in your house. Last night." And the wife said, "Yes, man of God, it's true." Then she didn't know. In the process, she tells me, I woke up this morning with a song on my heart. When the oceans rise. Now, sometimes that song drops in your spirit and it's telling you about the situation of someone. When you're just there, I like this song. And you see, remember, when, for those who have been around, when I taught on music and worship, I explained that in the spirit there's no such thing as Christian music. Okay. Because music is either spirit or carnal. And when it's spirit, it's either demonic or divine. Because if there was such a thing as Christian music, what is happy birthday? Okay, let's leave that. Eh? So, God can speak through song, can enter through the heart of a man and speak through song. And I've said that you can have encounters by the words that we speak. And when we speak, those words are impacted upon you. And then that's the lowest level of encounter, by the way. One of the lowest levels. Where a man speaks and you feel an impact. Then you grow in various degrees of encounters. To the extent that you see now the things that were spoken about. You now start to experience God personally. You're not just hearing hearsay. You're not just having hearsay. Those are the highest levels of an encounter. So God speaks in various ways. He speaks to us in various ways. Encounters. Now, it's important that when you pray, and you should pray, when you pray, and you should have a prayer life, I know what I'm talking about. Eh? You see, it is true that we live in a prophetic age, but you can become lazy. So when you pray, learn to pray for wisdom, to be relevant, to discover your role in this generation, and the courage to pursue it irrespective of circumstance. When you pray, learn to pray for wisdom, to know your role in this generation, and pray for the courage to pursue it irrespective of circumstance. Because I can assure you, God, the Bible says, I have come that you might have life, and life abundantly, or more abundantly. It is true that God wants you to live a good life here on earth. If you limit God to the car you're going to have, you've missed it. Now let me explain. Eh? What God is doing, there's what we call an eternal agenda in the spirit. It has existed long before you came. There's an agenda in the spirit. When you came, your role, whether you know it or not, was to help fulfill that eternal agenda. That agenda is bigger than you. That means it's bigger than the car you want to drive, than the house that you want to live in, than the person that you want to marry. The reason is because, now remember what I said, it is good, go ahead and get a car, go ahead and get a house. But you see, the thing is, God wants to deal with you beyond what you're getting. Because if you get a car, there is a non-believer out there who also has one. If you get a house, there's a non-believer who has one. If you're successful and men applaud you on earth, there are non-believers who are successful and men are applauding them. That means the distinction has to be beyond just being successful, being respected, driving nice cars. There's an agenda in the spirit bigger than you. If you have failed to understand the scope of that agenda away from you, you are irrelevant to that generation. You're succeeding, people clap for you, people say, wow, this person has got money. But in the spirit, you're irrelevant. Totally irrelevant to the move of God in a generation. And you see, when you're irrelevant in a generation, that destiny and assignment can be passed on to someone else, either within that very same generation or the next. It can be passed on. Praise the Lord. Am I being harsh? No, I'm not being harsh. Eh? Can be passed on. You can be very successful on earth and be irrelevant to a generation in the eyes of God. Praise the living God. Amen. Now, as we go along, I'm going to tap into a number of things that are relevant for you now. I want to show you how you can be relevant in this generation. Praise the Lord. Eh? So, drive your nice car, build your nice business. It's possible to do all that, and in the spirit, it's potea. It's good to do that plus being relevant. Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. There are men in the spirit, actually in the Bible, men and women who carried such weight, their relevance was so heavy that sometimes when I look through scripture, I think, my God, it's one thing to impact the earth. It's another thing to impact spirit and earth. There are men and women whose names are not whispered in heaven. They are shouted. Even though in the earth, some of them might be unknown because they carried weight. Now, let me explain something. The Bible says of Moses, Exodus 32 verse 9. Are you guys flowing with me? Huh? Exodus 32 and verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people. So God is complaining to Moses about these people. He calls them stiff-necked. And he says, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Verse 10. He says, now therefore let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them. I don't even know if God actually used this kind of language. Eh? But anyway, wax hot against them. And he says, and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. Now, people don't understand how deep that statement is. What God is saying is that these people, the Israelites, who are stiff-necked, they had reached the limit of God's mercy. And the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. You just imagine. They are never ending. They reached the limit of God's mercy. Just imagine. Then scripture says, the same God who promised Abraham now is telling Moses, I will make of thee a great nation. Now there's something powerful there. What God is saying is that in Moses, there is a potential of a nation. Now, you get? But it took wisdom for Moses to know that it is not in the plan of God. Because while God wanted to wipe out the people, he had made a promise to Abraham. Now, let me say that again. God was saying in Moses there was a potential for a nation. Moses, knowing the plan of God, in verse 32, take me verse 32 of the same chapter. Verse 32 of the same chapter. Okay. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. This is powerful. God, in verse 9 and 10, wants to wipe out over 2 million people and start afresh through Moses. In verse 32, Moses then says, blot me out of the book. So he's standing in the place of the people. You're with me? Now, what that actually means is that in the mind of Moses, 2 million people, over 2 million people that were a nation, are equivalent to one man. God wants to wipe out 2 million, over 2 million people, and the man says, take me instead. That means he must be the equivalent. Yes. Oh my God. That is weight. Where one man offers himself for 2 million people. And God considers it, and then the scripture says, actually, God moves on, doesn't take that. Now, the fact that God does not take it actually implies that Moses is worth more. Are you getting? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There are people who had relevance on this earth. They carried weight. That's why the Bible says, of whom the world was not worthy. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. People walking with God so much, they look so irrelevant on earth, eh? But they carry weight. Mama. Now, Moses was the equivalent of a nation. Abraham, an equivalent of nations. Because the Bible says he's the father of nations. Now, look at the weight of that one. So there are weights in the spirit. There are people who have certain weighings. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 12 verse 13, it says, by a prophet, the Lord delivered Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. Does he say prophets, plural?
No.
One man delivers an entire nation, and one man preserves it. One. What is the weight of that man? Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you something, because remember I told you that God speaks with encounters. Let me tell you that every encounter, every impact that you have with God in various degrees attaches rest to you. I'm going to explain what that means. If you are broke and one day you land upon $1,000, then 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months later, 1 year, you've never touched $1,000 again. You don't know that the $1,000 was an encounter. I'm going to explain why. When you capture the $1,000, the fact that you've held it and it's yours, even if 2 years later you still haven't got $1,000, in the spirit, no one can tell you you cannot get $1,000. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Because you once held it. You touched it, you felt it, you smelt it. You know how it feels to capture $1,000. So even though in the natural you don't have it, no one can convince you you can't get it. Are you getting? Why? Because you encountered it. That means in the spirit, even if you're broke, in the spirit, $1,000 is your floor, not your ceiling. Now, replace $1,000 with anything that you have encountered. At one point, you were staying in a posh house, now you've gone backwards. Irrespective of how you've gone backwards, in the spirit, that's your flow. And as long as you maintain it, it is impossible for it not to come back. It's impossible. It's actually a law. Praise the living God. Eh? So, that's what I mean by when you encounter something, you capture what I call rest. In other words, in you, something settles. I've held $1,000. That's it. No one can convince you that $1,000 doesn't exist in this economy when you've held it. Praise the living God. It's like someone who used to travel a lot, then all of a sudden no longer travels. You can't start telling me, Mama, nowadays economy is hard. Traveling is... What are you telling me? Huh? I jumped on a plane, traveled left, right. I got sick and tired of traveling. And you're here telling me I can't travel again. As long as you've touched it and encountered it, it's part of you.
Amen.
It will have to replace, to repeat itself.
Amen.
Huh? Praise the living God.
Amen.
You must decide if you want to be relevant in this generation. You must pray for that. Pray for the wisdom to know your role, your place, and the courage to pursue it irrespective of circumstance. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Here's how you can know, or you can define life, or be relevant in a generation. One way is by what I call the scope. There's territory and there's season. Three things. Your territory, your scope, and your season. Now, everyone here, to be relevant in a generation, the moment you are born on this earth, there is a territory you are given by God. And I'm going to have to explain this. That territory can be physical. It can be digital. If a man, every man begins in an initial territory, and that territory can grow. If initially you're born in Uganda, God placed you here for a reason. Actually, the book says, in the book of Acts chapter 7, don't go there, the Bible says all of us, the boundaries of our habitation were chosen before the foundations of the earth by God. So if you're born a Muchiga, you're born a Muchiga for a particular reason. Okay? Somehow the Lord knows that where you are born, start with that territory. Now, you're born in Uganda. You have a business action upon you. I'm just giving an example. And from the time you realize you have a business action, you're trying to fly to Kenya. Every time you go to Kenya to try to do business, things fail. When you come back to Uganda, things are... Know your territory. Now, okay? Know your territory. So someone out there, territory can even be things like You're called to real estate. But you see people succeeding in clothes, so you try to switch. Every time you try clothes, you fail because it's not your territory. Know your? Know your territory, ma? Know it. So I've seen people who like running after things that are working great. Say, man, I've been told Forex now is the way to go, eh? Forex is the way to go. You go there, you see others succeeding, you think maybe these guys are using witchcraft. But if you're a Christian, you should be saying, I should be succeeding because I have a greater God. Then you start saying, man, you guys, what are you doing that you're not telling me? Some people, everyone runs to, those days everyone would run to MLMs, network marketing. And then the conclusion was, whoever came first is the one that succeeds, the one that come late. So whatever MLM showed up early, people would run. Then they end up in things like Telex Free and what? Things fall apart. Then you start asking, you say, I lost money. They say, where was the Lord? The ability to know territory. To know where the Lord has called you. Are you with me? All of us here have territory. To one person, it could be academics. To someone like me, I'm a man of God, but my territory is teaching. It doesn't mean I don't heal, I don't prophesy. But the Bible says, let every man remain in the place in which God put them. So you won't see me calling myself a prophet. Never gonna happen. Because I know my territory. Enlarge my territory. I, Jehovah. Eh? So, all of us have territory. Know your territory. To be relevant in this age, you need to know your territory. The next thing you need to know is your scope. Your scope is your influence within the territory. Listen to me carefully. There's no one born by woman. I have to say that, eh? Because there's some who are not, eh? For another day. There's no one born of woman on the face of this earth who was not born with particular people God has given him. There are people you are supposed to influence within the territory. Now remember I said the territory can grow. But before you grow it, you must know what the territory is. So then, God gives you a scope. So say you're called to fashion. You realize that when you do crochets, you get 1,000 likes. You try to go into wedding dresses, and nothing is working. Because the scope that has given God has given you is for people who like crochets. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Okay? So say you're called to business. Your scope has an age group. It has an age group. Not everyone, there's no one on this earth, not even Jesus was called to everyone. Because when Jesus came, he came to the Israelites. Then even when he came, Matthew 11:25, he says, these things have been hidden from the wise and prudent, but been given or revealed to babes. That means, in terms of category, the wise and prudent, they're not his territory. I get what I'm saying. Even Jesus. So now you think, someone starts a ministry and thinks everyone. The day you realize that there is a scope of people you're supposed to influence, you will keep quiet when certain people don't support you. Well, that one is not in my scope. I'm telling you, you won't care if people speak against you. They're not in my scope. You're not in my scope. You're not in my influence. But the day it's possible for your scope to grow and haters now become members. Yeah. Now the ones who used to speak against you now are coming. Now, Rabbi. Your scope can grow. And you see, when scope grows, that's when your enemies are made your footstool. I get what I'm saying. Lord have mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. So all of us have a scope. Some people are called to ladies. To minister. I'm not talking about ministry. I'm talking about in terms of calling. Some things are gender based. Some businesses are for maybe Africans. And you're trying to go into America. If you're to go into America, make sure that your territory has expanded enough to reach the Africans in America. Otherwise, you will fail. Praise the Lord. So all of us have a scope. I can guarantee you, whether you came here just to visit, currently you fall within my scope. I can guarantee you. There is something, whether it's the way I teach, whether it's what, that is relevant to you. Because he orders the steps of a righteous man. Yes. Praise the Lord. And so for someone who is not here, I don't lose sleep over them. Especially for today. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there's a scope. There's an influence. There are people you're supposed to touch. People you're supposed to touch. And notice, many of you don't pay attention to the scope. So you just think, random people are coming to ask you particular questions. You think it's random. Pay attention to the scope. Who comes to my business? Are they of a particular age? Huh? If it's not an age, because here there are people of various ages. I won't say. People of various ages. So, if you have, there are people who no longer fall within the bracket of youth. Huh? Now, I can't then do a gender or an age group scope here. There's something deeper than that. And whether you believe it or not, every single one of you, there's something that connects all of you to me. And it's the same thing. Oh, Lord have mercy. Whether it's someone who's listening to an audio, whether it's someone who attends physically, whether it's someone who follows the Facebook page, one thing that is in me connects all of you. Oh, praise the Lord. So, you know your territory, know your scope, then know your season. Now that one is like a tricky one for most of you. Tricky one for most of you. Because you see, whether you like it or not, you cannot do everything in one day. You can have a miracle in one day, but you cannot do everything in one day. And I've taught this before, that the way the Lord has aligned your life, he has aligned it in such a way that certain things can't be hurried. You will try and fail. And the reason is for now, the two major reasons. One is because of process. There are things you'll never step into until your character can be able to handle them. That's why one time I said, you see a person with bad character, just know they're going to go through heavy process. Heavy! Because the aim, you see, and I remember I said, good situations don't shape character. They don't. My desire is always to be in the image of Christ as much as possible. Because, man, the things that can come your way. So there are certain things in your life that cannot be hurried by process. You have to be shaped in order to step into them. Okay? So for someone here, their issue is money. And I remember I said, God won't give you money, no matter how much you pray. Because your issue is money. And so what you'll do? First sort out this money thing. Huh? And then, in your heart, sort it out. Then you'll see it flow. And often, from the Christian perspective, many people absent all status quo remaining. Eh? All factors remaining constant. If a person is a Christian and has tapped into financial wealth, it's never by accident. You can see a masquerader if their character seems to be contrary to the wealth they have. They didn't get it genuinely. I can assure you. They didn't get it genuinely. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, territory, scope, and season. Very, very important. Now, the messages on the seasons, you go and look for those. But let me explain something. That these three, your territory, your scope, and your season. The way God aligns your life in them, he does a number of things. You want me to help you? Yes. Huh? I was explaining to someone yesterday that if you're asleep in your generation, because the aim of this right now is to awaken you to your relevance in your generation. That's the aim. If you do not awaken and you're asleep, No matter how many impartations you receive, a man that is asleep, even if they receive 1,000 impartations, they are irrelevant. Listen. Ain't that what I'm saying? You are asleep to your destiny and your call, you receive financial impartation, healing impartation, what impartation? They're useless. Because the aim of them is to make your walk and your destiny clear and sure. So then we have people just randomly going around giving words of knowledge. They don't even know what they're called for. They don't know the actual purpose of it. They're not led by God. They tapped on the gift, or maybe they received it by impartation. So everyone, I see. And we don't blame them. No matter how physically old they are, no matter the physical age, they are babes in the spirit. Are you with me? So one of the ways in which God gets your territory, your scope, and your season known to you, he releases utterances. You with me?
Yes.
Now, Jeremiah 1:4, like I said, says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying," and I remember I said one of the ways in which God speaks is the word. Now, when the word comes, it has very many dimensions in which it comes. The word can come in a dream. The word can come in a vision. The word can come in a desire. Delight in the Lord and he gives you the desires of your heart. A word can come through prophecy. Many ways the word of the Lord can come. When God wants you to know your territory, your scope, your season, he releases utterances. Utterances are not just words, but they are words backed by spirit. Because everyone speaks words. The words backed by a spirit, especially God, because some are demonic, but especially God. So, God speaks utterances. He releases words. When God releases words, and many of you are very hooked to receiving a word simply and only by prophecy, God can send a word by song, can send a word by a dream in the night, send a word by a vision, send a word by a desire deeply rooted within you. And you know it's not natural. All of a sudden, I feel like it's my time to start this business. I say, how do you know? Did the Lord speak? What, is he supposed to come with a deep voice? No, tell me. A word can come through desire. Those are utterances of the Lord. He releases them. Now, listen to me carefully. When the Lord releases an utterance, let me use an example by prophetic word. If I pick out someone and I speak something over their life, if indeed it is God who has spoken through me, the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word to perform it. You're with me? Okay? So I pick out someone and I utter by the Spirit, depending on who you go to. Some people go to shady guys. But depending on who you go to, and track record and so on, someone speaks. When they speak, words backed by a spirit hover over you. And remain. You walk around with words hovering over your head. Actually, when people who see in the spirit, sometimes when they prophesy, they pick what was already said. Not necessarily what is being said or what will be said. They pick what was already said. So words hover over you. As long as you received an utterance, even in a dream, an angel comes and says something. You wake up, it is over you. Now, when that word is over you, and when that utterance is over you, please hear me. I told you God watches his word to perform it or to bring it to fulfillment. Those words begin to hover over you, hover over you. There are things that are said in your life that have no conditions. You can go sleep, go have a blast, don't read your Bible, don't even pray. And because of the nature of the word, it comes to pass. Are you with me?
Yes.
Then there are things, when they are spoken, they have sometimes a spoken condition, sometimes they do not have a condition. Spoken, eh? But it's there. Now, this is important. And can I help some few people? Yeah? Because I know that people say, "Nange man, I have enough people coming to me, Rabbi, what have I done wrong? Has the Lord forgotten me?" Okay? So, when a man of God, let's presume that a word has been spoken over your life, and it has a silent condition to it. He doesn't say, if you do this, he just says, the Spirit of the Lord says, you're going to China. There's no condition in it, okay? You wait 1 month, 2 months, I'm speaking to somebody in this room. 3 months, 4 months, 1 year, waiting for the word to effect. But let me diverge a bit. The spirit of a man is so powerful that it can create even what God hasn't said. It can manifest it. Okay, for another day. But you can actually, someone can come, God hasn't said it, and they say, I see you married. Or they don't have to say it like prophesy. They just come and say, hey man, marriage season, they're joking. You can receive it and create it. God hasn't said, but you're that powerful. Even you guys. You're that powerful. That's why we have to be careful what we watch, who we listen to, and who we hang around. You can receive stuff and create it. Huh? So, someone speaks a word over your life. It is released over your life and has a silent condition. Always remember, I'm going to, because for the sake of time, always remember this, that when a word is given, it is either a confirmation to your spirit or it is an instruction, meaning it's something new. It's one of those two. If it is a confirmation to something you are either told or you felt or you already knew, the advice, listen to wisdom, the advice I would give you is, irrespective of condition, do everything within your means. The things, the responsibilities that you... So someone has said, go to China. You felt it in your heart that you were supposed to go to China. You've just received the confirmation. Get your passport. Are you with me? Do everything necessary. If you don't have the money, do everything necessary short of getting the money. Because you have to do all the responsibility on your part and let God do the rest. You're not waiting, sitting, waiting to see if it comes to pass. It was a confirmation. Are you getting what I'm saying? If, however, it is new, someone says your husband is called James. What? James? If it is new information, never act rashly. Always pray and believe God for signs and confirmations. The Bible says, in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. So if you speak something to me that originally I did not know, no matter who you are, God by nature establishes that thing by two other witnesses. Okay? So someone tells you you're going to China, you had no clue about it. Don't go rushing to go to China. Things will hammer you. Because let's say it wasn't given a season. Just say you're going to China. Says, me, I'm following the man of God's thing. I'm flying tomorrow. Let's say you have the money. All what you go to China, things hammer you, come back, man of God. Because by the wisdom of God, when something is new to you, it must be confirmed. No matter who speaks it. No matter who. Now, here's the thing. When a word is spoken over your life, if you fail to meet the responsibility, if you fail to do your part, that word still hovers over you because it can't return to God void. You with me? Now, here's the thing. If by some reason whatsoever, you remain stubborn in playing your part, and God will bring men and women, dreams, visions to show you what your part is supposed to be. If you remain reluctant to play your part, anyone, either biologically related or spiritually, can claim that prophecy. Can claim it and run with it. So someone's father was told, there's great wealth upon you, great wealth. And you know, he was supposed to do particular things, but Satan, Chala, says these guys are liars. His son comes, hears about that prophecy, and aligns himself to it. He can grab it.
It can't die. It can't. The rule, the law is it can't return void. That is the law. Praise the Lord. Eh? It can't. It can't. Now, Psalms 144. This is the heart of the message now that I want to share. Psalms 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The moment words are released, an utterance is released from the spirit realm, there is a war. 1 Timothy 1, the Bible says, wage a good warfare. What is that? 116? 118? It says, wage a good warfare. The moment it's released, now hear me something. There are people whose entire life has been turned upside down by a word that was released. Just that you are fine. You understand? Things were going just okay. Eh? The guy just had to come and say, the Lord is taking you higher. Then everything, it's like the devil was dealing with other people. Eh? Then he decides that, hey man, eh? Okay? So he says, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Understand that we don't know how to fight. We are taught. No one ever knows how to fight things of the spirit. You are taught. He says, he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. There's a powerful worship revelation there. But for another day. Now, you have to be taught how your hands are to war and your fingers fight. There's a way. The moment an utterance is released, the enemy comes not to nullify the words because he can't. That's not why he attacks. The reason he attacks is because when utterances are given, they are spoken, because in the spirit, everything is spoken from a finished perspective. You're with me? But in the natural, you have to walk into what is finished. So, they tell David, you have to be king. In the spirit, God is speaking from a finished perspective. Are you with me? The enemy comes not to nullify the words. He can't. He comes to test, is this vessel of stature and worthy of the words that are spoken? If this person at that moment is not worthy, and the worthiness is tested by contention. How you respond to the contention determines how long you stay there. So let me use scripture. The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized after 30 years on earth, he's baptized by John the Baptist. A voice comes from heaven and says, this is my son. Right? Right after he's taken to the wilderness, the contention is over the word that was spoken. Are you the son? Are you getting what I'm saying? I wonder if after this people want me to profess that. Are you with me? So the contention comes to test the stature of the words of the person who has received those words. To test them. So the devil begins to contend. Now when he contends, contentions come in different ways. Contention can come by delay. Delay. One person's contention is another person's wish. So someone else, people are speaking against them, blasting them, and they're looking at the person. Saying, the Lord is delaying. Say, I wish I was the one who is wishing it was delay. Because these ones where people are speaking against me, things are tight. But contentions are different. They can be delay. They can be persecution. Sometimes the enemy accuses you through the minds of men. Now let me explain what that means. The enemy, and that's what you call warfare of the mind. And there's a certain dimension of it that goes into the dream world. Someone has just said, You know the words that were spoken over you. You are a man of God. It was spoken over you from the time you moved. You saw signs. You saw establishments, things that showed that actually this word is true. Then someone receives a dream of you going to some kahat, huh? And sitting somewhere and dancing around a what? He has accused you through mind. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. And so if a person is unable to discern the accusation, they will come and say, you're a false guy. That is a contention. Christians, that one hits them badly. They can't seem to tell the difference between a spiritual dream of God and one that says, When I was getting married, there's a lady from Australia, long-term friend, had lost contact. She sends me a message before my wedding and tells me, I had a dream, and in that dream, your wedding was not working out. Things were not working out, and that's not your person. Now listen, this is after I had received sign after sign after sign. My damsel. You like that word, eh? My damsel. Huh? My damsel had had dreams about me before we ever met. And here comes one person in Australia somewhere. The Lord has spoken to her. I'm saying, this is not the person. False accusation. False, but totally fake. Do you know, let me tell you something. Do you know that the scope of contentions that married people face are nothing compared to the singles? Married people's scope is wider. I didn't say intensity. Intensities can cut across. I'm talking about scope. The moment you get married, the scope of contentions become 10 times more. And all of those who are married, you know. So you sit there and say, hey, really? Do you know what I'm going through, Rabbi? Yeah, you're single. Let me tell you. What I'm telling you is true. The devil has a personal beef with the marriage covenant. It's personal. Huh? And so the scope that married people, because you're facing your things plus someone else's, it's much bigger. Huh? The scope that they face, a single person, it can't compare. But intensities cut across. Eh? So, the enemy brings contentions and accusations, things to come and test. Now let me say something. When the Lord sees that these contentions have come, he begins to teach you how to war. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, I hear the Spirit say, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of hosts of strongholds. You know this scripture. It says our weapons are not carnal. Now let me tell you something. You think you understand that statement. So many people think they do. But let me explain. When a person is going through contention from the enemy, the Lord teaches them of particular weapons to fight with. And so if you're just a person who looks on the natural, you can think the person is being foolish, but yet in the spirit they're fighting. Now let me explain. Someone is going through a situation and by inspiration gets their entire salary and gives it. You, from the natural, is like, this is total foolishness. Depending on which church and which people you hang around with. But you don't know what the person is going through. You don't know the instruction. But that act is a weapon. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to give your salaries. Please, eh? But hear what I'm saying. A person doesn't have to go, swear, you even lose your voice. Just picks up on an action of the Lord and picks an entire salary and puts it there. In the spirit, they fought. Are you with me? Another person does something different. They're not directed to do that. What they do is simply be still. And you see things are turning around them. People are speaking things against them. What? They're just still. That's a weapon. Let me tell you something. There's no weapon more powerful, or should I say, one of the most powerful weapons in the spirit is the weapon of silence. Very, very powerful. I met a couple the other day, and as I was seated with them, I was explaining to them about warfare. And there's someone, I told one of them that, you see, I'm going to say something, but right after I've said it, tonight, you're going to see something that is going to contradict it. Don't allow the contradiction. Okay? Now, I'm sitting with this couple, and I'm explaining to them about warfare. Then, I asked the person, it was a lady, I asked her, no, sorry, gentleman, I asked her, there are times from the time you were young, when you were in your room and you felt someone looking at you. And he said, oh my God, yes, 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 I've been trying to sort that thing out. I said, leave alone looking at you. This was something demonic, not angelic, demonic. You felt eyes looking at you. Now, do you want to know this, eh? Yeah. And I explained to the person that whenever there are contentions, you should always remember that the 9 gifts of the Spirit are often used in warfare. Now, let me explain how. Some of you don't even know the 9, but it's okay. You go and look for them, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 9 gifts of the Spirit. And I was explaining to this person that often when everything seems to be contrary, you need the wisdom to understand where to get a solution from. Now, there's a secret that I learned, that God never hides an enemy. Never. It is up to you to discern it, but he never hides the enemy. God begins, as you're going through things, begins to unveil the enemy before you, depending on how sensitive you are. So this person was going through something, and God was unveiling something. The unveiling was a person all of a sudden who doesn't see in the spirit sees someone looking at them. Are you with me? Yeah. Then I tell them that whenever you have an experience like that, and I know some of you have, the enemy surveils. It's called surveillance. Oh my God. He watches. Witchcraft, the kingdom of darkness, depends a lot on information to be successful. I'm telling you. So, someone is watching. He can't approach you, can't hurt you. He's just watching. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Surveillance. And usually, for some people, the surveillance is later in life. Some people, it's right now you're going through it. Others, from the time you were born, depending on the grace that is upon you and how scared the enemy is of you. So surveillance. Now, he sets eyes on you. What is he looking for? There is a mystery that I tried to talk to a man of God yesterday. We tried to figure it out, but it's a mystery to me. A man of God, or even God himself, can come to you, say something, and the devil cannot hear it. Oh my God. Can I show you through scripture? Okay, let's go down a road. A man of God or someone can speak something over your life and the enemy doesn't hear it. He can watch but can't hear anything. The Bible says, if you look carefully in the story of the transfiguration, the scripture says that at the transfiguration, Jesus was turned into another man. Eh? Okay, his body transfigured. Then Moses and Elijah show up. The book of Luke said they spoke to Jesus about his death. Are you with me? Yes. Now, I can assure you from the time that Jesus, a lot about Jesus' life was secret. From the very beginning of time, the enemy did not know the method of death and did not know the look of the person. I'm going to show it to you. When a baby is born, he doesn't know if it's this one. So he kills 200 babies, but doesn't know if he has succeeded or not. Because for 30 years, there is silence. Are you with me? Then all of a sudden, a man is showing up, and John says, behold the lamb. Devil says, eh? A word comes, says, this is my son, with whom I'm well pleased. Eh? Then takes him to the desert. Are you the son of God? Are you getting... you're getting what I'm saying? Doesn't know the personality, the person. Just knows somewhere around there, I must have succeeded, I don't know. Then, didn't know the method of death. Now this is what messes me up. Because the entire time Jesus mentions it, he says, the Son of Man must be lifted, just like Moses lifted up a bronze snake. so shall the Son of Man. The enemy must be around there surveilling. You understand? He must be around there. Then he tells his disciples, just like this temple, in 3 days, I'll tear this temple down and then lift it up again. That one is also there. Then, you know, he goes and he says, first, I must die. I give up my own life. The entire time he's talking. But then 1 Corinthians 2 says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What a mystery there. That means, just like at the transfiguration, the Bible says there was a cloud that covered Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And they spoke with Jesus of his death, but the devil never heard. Now, I can guarantee you, there are things spoken over your life that were not heard. Yeah. Eh? And it's a fact. Now, listen to me carefully. This is why I had to warn this couple. Because of that surveillance, you have to be careful who you tell stuff. Be careful who you tell stuff. So you have a private meeting with me. I speak over your life, say something by the Spirit. Then you just go randomly to every Tom, Dick, and Harriet. Some chap doesn't have that cloud. You release information that was never supposed to be released. I told you, silence is a weapon. Choose carefully who you share your testimony or your word that has been very, very careful. Sometimes you add more fire to your life. You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Eh? You hear what I'm saying? So there's a mystery there that was shrouded, that actually there are things that can be spoken over you and God hides them. And as long as you keep them, the Bible says, the Bible continuously speaks about people when they received certain things from God. The Bible says, and these things remained upon his heart. The Bible says, Elisha, as he's sending Gehazi out to go and lay his staff on the sick kid, he tells him, speak to no one. Speak to no one. He said, man, there's a sick kid out there. Elisha has just sent me. Enemy says, what? What is this? How did we not know? Because you see, God is all-knowing, but the enemy has limited resources. So can't surveil everyone 24 hours every day. That's why the Bible talks about an evil day. There's a day when all hell breaks loose. In every person's life, you wake up in the morning, the thing, power goes. It starts subtly. In a subtle way, so power goes. Then you're like, man, then water goes. You're like, well, what's going on? Then, for some reason, network is not on. You can't call your boss. You try Uber up, no, not working. You go traffic. Reach office, your boss blasts you. You know, the whole day is just, it's like, okay, today they've just come for me. There are days like that. How you respond to that day? Because silence is a weapon. That's why the Bible says of Jesus, he comes before Herod, asks him, are you the Son of the living God? Remain silent. If anyone had asked him, how are you going to die? Just keep quiet. By the way, that thing is a mystery to me. How the devil did not know that Christ was going to die on the cross, that thing is a mystery to me. But what I'm saying is this, okay? Learn, silence is a weapon. When you receive an utterance, and I really want to close, when you receive utterances, know that sometimes the Lord will direct you to receive a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom gives a solution to a problem. They come to Jesus and say, there is no wine. The instruction he gave was a word of wisdom. Are you with me? It solves a problem. Now, you must be able to discern when someone operates in word of wisdom. Because many of you go to a person who prophesies. Prophecy is telling the future. What you might need is a word of wisdom. So you go to someone, things are falling apart. Instead, he adds more prophecy. Now, there is nothing that weighs down the heart than prophecy, added prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled. There's nothing that weighs, I'm telling you. They just keep adding and piling. You should need to ask yourself, who am I going to? Sometimes you need a word of wisdom. Okay? A word of wisdom. So, like that couple, when I told them silence, that was a word of wisdom. They didn't need a prophecy. They don't need a prophecy. They need a word of wisdom. Some people need a word of knowledge. So, sometimes what's going on in your life, you don't know the source. You don't know what's creating it. And so I pick you out and I say, I see something in the village. That's a word of knowledge. Coupled with a spirit of discernment. I say, there's a lady who did this. There's a spirit behind her. That's a word of knowledge. It has helped you find a source. Word of wisdom then tells you what to do with it. I haven't even gone to prophecy yet. But all of you are looking, man, I need a. There are people out there who only operate by word of wisdom. They don't say accurate things. But when they give instruction, it is of God. Amen. So don't look for only the fabulous, eh? And the wonderful and the extravagant and all that stuff. Eh? It's nice. But be led of God. I told you, those 9 gifts of the Spirit can be weapons. Weapons. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the living God. Amen. There's a scripture I love. Eh? Actually, it messed me up. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 8. I've just remembered it. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it has lighted up Israel. What that means is that Jacob received the word from God. But when it lighted up, when that word lighted up, it lighted upon Israel, the man whose name was changed. Oh, Lord. Okay. You getting what I'm saying? The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, but it lighted upon Israel. And so, what that means is that you must learn to see yourself from the point of victory. If I say that I see you're a great businessman, I see you're going to be having a lot of money and so on, never ever receive the word from the point of hope. Receive it from the point of finished. Huh? That's why it says, the word was sent unto Jacob, but when it lighted up, it lighted upon Israel. Now, when did that word come? When it came to Jacob in a dream. And in that dream, God spoke and says, just like I was with you, with your father and your grandfather, says, I'll be with you, blah, 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 and keeps quiet. That's Jacob when he's young. But when he's fighting an angel, he enters the realm of prince, which is what Israel means. Then that word now is effected. Because that Jacob now is no longer just a person, he's a nation. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I say there are versions of you that are revealed constantly by utterances. When they're revealed, never look to them as hope. Enter them. You say, this is me. This is me. And you begin to realize that everything that has been spoken begins to light upon the you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God.
Amen.
There are warfares in the heavenlies that are taking place every day over people's lives. Some happen in the mind. There's a spiritual battle that happens between flesh and spirit, and the battleground is the soul. That's a different kind of warfare. It's different from fighting principalities. It's when you fight between spirit and flesh. So, somehow, you had a dream that at some point you're going to be in UK by the end of this year. Then, all of a sudden, your flesh is telling you it can't happen. That is a spiritual battle between flesh and spirit. Battleground is the soul. The battle that happens in your mind is the battle for what's. But there's a deeper battle that happens in your heart. It's an identity battle. It's much deeper than the one that happens in your mind. The enemy and God, if there is a confrontation, a fight for you, it's for who can capture the heart. Because whoever captures it owns it. That's why scripture consistently says, as a man thinketh in his heart, not mind. Huh? Scripture says that God, when you get born again, he removes the heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh, not a mind. Mind you renew. What he wants is heart. The devil is also fighting over the heart. It says, do not give the devil a foothold. Where is the foothold? It's in the heart. Whoever wins the heart owns you. It's a deep, deep battle that goes on. It's an identity crisis within Christians. It's an identity crisis. Somewhere out there is a Christian who has concluded at the back of their head that all they need to do is to live a normal life, just go to church, pray, sing songs, not be controversial, and leave this earth having served the Lord. You can be irrelevant to your generation. Because everyone that is relevant faces contention. If you want to be very nice and quiet and sit in a corner, you're going to be the one clapping for us in heaven as we pass. I'm telling you. Because you see, look through scripture. Not everyone does he say, well done, good and faithful servant. There's a chap who's on the cross and says, Lord, let me be with you tonight. Tonight you will be with me. Ah, I call them flukers of heaven. Done nothing, enjoyed life, went chilling, what, had fun with ladies, did what, and say, I'm about to die, Lord, I love you. Ah. Do not think that chap is the same as you who has pursued your call and your purpose in the kingdom. Be relevant in this kingdom, and that relevance is known by utterances. Pay attention to them. I beseech thee of the Spirit, pay attention, and you will begin to see your light grow.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.